is a Friday. It is the final Friday. Are you getting nostalgic? Are you having second thoughts? Are you thinking about pulling the ripcord and sticking with us?
Say it one more time.
Second thoughts. You can't have any second thoughts because I've already got design in your chair. My eyes are on your chair. When we get back in studio, I'm going to sit in that chair. I've been looking at that chair for 4 years, like going, yeah. I'd be even smarter.
You know, I've had fun for 4 years with you, LZ, and, you know, you've taught me a lot about different communities and just different stuff. I actually enjoyed all of those things, and I've had enough, so I'm leaving.
I'm out. I am leaving.
Yeah, I'm so far gone. I can't wait.
Travis, he's so far gone, he's already paying taxes.
He's already moved on, right? We'll see. We'll still bother second, you. We'll still call you say? Up.
Second thoughts, huh? Be like, every day, but you know, so interesting. Every day I look outside these windows and look at the sky and say to myself, damn, I just know what it's going to be. I live there. So I know what it's going to be like.
February.
Don't call me in February. You got to call me in late October.
Everybody likes New York in late October. It's perfect. We're going to call you in February.
We're going to call you. You can get in February from the beach. Travis and I are going to be sitting at the beach having a cocktail and we're going to say, hey, Keith, what's all that noise in the background? Sounds
when is
like
that,
snow
when,
trucks.
What you going to say? When is that winter storm ending?
That's right. How's the polar vortex, Key? How's that treating you? Well, we've got daiquiris with our feet in the sand. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be doing some real weather updates for sure.
Instead of saying, it's going to be 72 today instead of 77. Snow and polar vortex, nor'easters, all that fun stuff. So enjoy that, Key. We will miss you, but you can go enjoy that on your own. All right. You know what's fun? I was watching a little bit of the Dodger game last night on the Dodger channel, and amen that's finally on DirecTV. They were piping in noise into the stadium, like ballpark noise. It makes such a difference, guys. Did you have a chance to see that at all?
I haven't. I did not.
I did not. How did it sound?
It sounds perfect. It sounds like a baseball game. That doesn't quite add up to what you're looking at because the seats are empty, but it sounded, they have the crowd kind of going, when the ball gets hit to the outfield, there's clapping, there's the organ sound. It sounded like a baseball game. Every team needs to do what the Dodgers did last night when it comes to the production on it. It looked really, really good and sounded really, really good.
I wonder how that would feel if I'm an athlete.
Or it's a good question, LZ. The players themselves,
and you know it's fake.
So all the players that they were talking to about it universally liked it. They said that the only thing that they miss is when there's nobody there, they get a little better read off the bat because of the sound that it makes. But other than that, they absolutely loved it. They say we were talking about yesterday with Pedro, that it kind of elevated the entire feeling of this, as opposed to it just being an inner squad and a scrimmage and everybody's kind of goofing around, that it made it feel much more realistic, like a real game, because there's sounds of a full ballpark around there.
Can you not sprinkle a few thousand people throughout the stadium? Can you not do that? Like, can we not put 100 in each section? Can we not do that?
What are we going to do? We're going to all pull our money together, Key, because the Dodgers have a cutout that you can buy and have your face in the stands during the season.
I'm serious, though.
So that you won't miss a Dodger game. You're going to get your cutout, but you won't miss a game.
But I'm serious, though. Can we not put, 100 in each, like, 100 in the left field pavilion, 100 in the right field pavilion, spread them out?
Well, what does that matter? Know? What is 100 going to do?
I was going to say, you couldn't do it.
It just put people in the seats.
You're not making any money or any real money off a few thousand people. And I'm under no misconceptions. People would certainly want to go do it. They would be willing to risk whatever goes along with it. But we're talking about balancing income versus liability. The liability is far too great. They're not going to do that, at least not at the beginning.
I'm looking at some of the NFL teams are certainly saying that they're going to have, you know, Jacksonville, Miami. They're saying they're going to have a limited amount of people
in
the stadium.
Well, I think we can all agree that Florida's the right place to do that. I mean, what's going on down there? It's totally fine. Absolutely no problems in Florida. Come on, man.
I understand.
About the history, when you think about the history of Dodger Stadium and before they kind of connected everything, you know, back in the day, they were all separated sections and your ticket only allowed you to enter in and maneuver in one part of the stadium before they got rid of that and connected everything. So there could be a way in which baseball teams could sort of delineate over the course of time when you arrive and when your ticket is valid to let you into a certain section. They could do that. The question is the manpower, and as Travis said, the liability that you may be exposed to, is it worth the number of bodies you're actually going to have in the seats? I would argue no. However, you know, I'm not an owner, and I don't know, you know, how they feel about empty stadiums versus at least 1,000 people. But certainly in the history of Dodger Stadium, we know that they found a way in order to have different people coming at different times just because of the way that the stadium was built.
I mean, take the liability. Well, I guess you can't take the liability out of it because there's going to be some liability. But it feels like if you could somehow figure out, not just the Dodgers, but some other teams in other cities, figure out how to allow, you know, 2,500 people in a stadium, spread out certain sections, you know, because if airplanes and restaurants and these sort of places, you notice I didn't mention bars because Raj screwed that up, but restaurants and airplanes and these sort of different places can figure out how to allow people in their establishments, why couldn't sports figure out at a limited capacity?
They'll get there. I mean, but I hear what you're saying, Key, about remove the liability, but that's the number one thing. That's the part that's going to be that's the gate to the whole process. Until that piece can be mitigated, you're not going to see anybody in there until they can find a way to kind of navigate their way through it. So there's that part of it. There's also
barely met journalists here.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a minute, and that's fine. I mean, I'm telling you, watching that last night with the sounds of it, it made it feel like a real Major League Baseball game. I'm incredibly optimistic about what it's going to be like when we get to next Thursday and the Dodgers are opening up. Yeah.
Trevor, is Kike going to keep the stash, or that's just for, you know, spring training?
Look, he hit a grand slam last night, so I'm not cutting off any of my mustache if I'm grand slamming on the Reds. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep that thing. I don't care what I got going. I'm going to keep it going. He hit a grand slam last night. He was the man. They've kind of been rotating the managers who gets to decide on the little inter-squad games. Kike was the manager of his squad last night and hit a grand slam. They also, Dodgers released a statement yesterday talking about social justice, and they put together a video. A bunch of their players are in it, including Clayton Kershaw and Cody Bellinger. I want you guys to take a listen to this.
For centuries, the Black community has lived in a different America. Instead of addressing racism, inequality, and injustice, many of us just look away.
We ignore the school-to-prison pipeline that criminalizes Black children instead of connecting them to opportunities.
It's easy to say racism is a thing of the past.
But it's not, especially when Black people don't enjoy the full protections afforded by the Constitution. As proud Americans, how much longer can we avoid an honest look in the mirror? Equality is at bat. Together, we must learn and grow.
We don't know the exact answers,
but we are committed to working, listening, and amplifying Black voices to be a part of the solution.
There are organizations on the ground fighting for resources that the Black community deserves, and we're here to support them.
It's up to each and every one of us. We can't just look away because it's uncomfortable.
Loving this country means admitting it's not the same for us all.
Silence is no longer an option. I'm fighting for my teammates and their families and their communities. And that is why we must unapologetically say that Black lives matter.
So you heard at the beginning of the end, that's Clayton Kershaw. Cody Bellinger is in it. Walker Buehler, Kike Hernandez, Gavin Lux, Jock Peterson, AJ Pollock, Ross Stripling, Justin Turner, and Alex Wood are all in that video right there. And, you know, we've seen the NBA be very active in this space. We've seen the NFL try to be active in this space. We really haven't seen much from Major League Baseball collectively. But this video from the Dodgers I thought was pretty powerful.
You know, it's so funny. And maybe I'm just a Dodger fan. I'm a homer. But that one seems authentic to me. It didn't feel forced. You know what I'm saying? It felt like they didn't.
It didn't
have
feel
to
like
twist.
Good PR. It felt sincere.
You didn't have to twist their arms and say, "Hey, JT, won't you come and do this for us?" It was almost like there's a sign up board right by the dugout. I want, you know, six guys to sign up. Whoever wants to do it, why don't you guys sign up? And it's like they ran over there and they signed up to do it because they feel it.
Well, I will tell you, just based upon my own reporting, having spoken to players, and as you guys know, I did the Kershaw's interview immediately after his Instagram post about why he felt the need to step out and be in that space. And remember, Kershaw is not someone historically who operates in this space visibly. He likes to do it behind the scenes. He likes to put on events and philanthropic efforts, but he doesn't like a lot of attention. So for him to go and post a strong statement and then, of course, to do the interview with me, he's stepping in a space that he normally doesn't occupy. And I know from speaking to him and other players as well as executives that the players have really been active on their own via text messaging to each other about these specific issues, sharing books to read, sharing stories about each other. I know from reporting that David Price has been very active, has been an active voice in helping to point out different things to players who may have questions. I know the coaching staff has been very active in these conversations as well. The Dodgers from the top all the way down to the bottom, and remember, they're also a part of the alliance that I reported on, in which all 11 pro teams have invested, and that started with Mr. Goober. One of the owners of the Dodgers is heavily invested in the alliance, and the 11 pro sports teams is lifting up black and brown bodies. So, Key, you are 100% correct. No one had to be forced. No one even had to really been asked. They have been heavily involved amongst themselves and with leadership with the organization about what can they do to make things better, because they're the face of integrated baseball, the Dodgers franchise, that name. Jackie Robinson Day. You can't keep wording out Jackie Robinson Day and then not have a voice in this conversation.
That's the Dodgers. Baseball is nowhere. I mean, the baseball has really not said too much about this at all. There's a great piece on ESPN.com about a week ago about Bruce Maxwell, the former catcher of the Oakland A's, who was the only Major League Baseball player to take a knee in support of Colin Kaepernick a few years ago, and he got run out of the game. I mean, he got run out of the game. He's in Mexico right now. He's very angry, and he talks about his anger, and his agent, Dave Stewart, talks about how he's tried to get him back in, and this guy doesn't even want back at this point. He's out on Major League Baseball. That the Dodgers.
So Major League Baseball was playing the NFL game?
Has done nothing, really.
So Major League Baseball was playing the NFL game, huh?
Well, I mean, the one guy that did it stopped being in that league shortly thereafter. So, I mean, you draw your own conclusions. It's not hard to connect those two dots. That's a pretty straight line. Yeah.
That's interesting. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what baseball does moving forward with this, because like you just said, the Dodger message seemed incredibly sincere. The Major League Baseball message, whatever there's been, I mean, what's the opposite of sincere? It nothing? I mean, that's where we are with that.
But for me, Travis, it's not even sincere. It's authentic. Sincere makes it sound as though, you know, it's like, yeah, it's sincere. We're sorry. We're sincere. You know, it's more, to me, it's like authentic. Like, you didn't have to twist my arm to do it. I signed up for this because this is what I really, truly believe. Now I know. You know, now I know what this is.
All right, the Lakers have a bad first-round matchup, potentially, according to one NBA Hall of Famer. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. And we'll get to the Lakers and their potential first-round matchup in just 1 second. But this Washington football story, man, you thought just when they got the name change and maybe they could move on, these guys can't get out of their own way. Now they're getting all sorts of heat, rightfully so, based on a couple of their executives, one of their media members, sexual harassment, all sorts of just ugly, ugly stuff out of D.C.
Yeah, I guess if anything, the good thing is that for them, Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen haven't been named yet. I mean, they haven't been named, but he's going to have to write a check, I'm sure. I'm sure he's going to have to answer a lot of questions because everybody wanted to know immediately if he was involved. As of now, he's not involved.
Let me just jump in real quick. He has not been accused of any of the sexual.
No, I'm saying accused of.
The boss. 15 different women have said this was going on. There clearly was a culture of. Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's not a culture. I'm just saying that it's not a culture. But I mean, I'm talking about directly harass him directly harassed. Because when it happened, the first thing I said is, I know Daniel Snyder didn't do that. After all he went through, he done went and did something like that. Then when it came out that he was not, as of now, directly involved.
What do you mean obviously, all that he went through?
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. All the noise about him changing and then saying he didn't want to change it. That's what I meant when I said he went through. He ain't gone through nothing. I understand what you saying, LZ. I'm just checking,
Key. I'm checking.
Oh, you think I'm with him now? I done aligned myself with him.
Look, I'm like, well, what you mean with all he been through? He been through nothing.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about him per se. I'm talking about just having to deal with not changing the name and saying he wouldn't change the name, and now all of a sudden being forced to change the name based on money. Now his name is being mentioned. It's part of this allegation that's going on with the sexual misconduct of all the employees in Washington. So people want to know, is Daniel Snyder, is his hands in it like that?
Well,
and
here's
and
the thing.
It's because he's been fighting so long to keep a racist slur as the name, you know that morality isn't the compass that guides his decision-making with his franchise. And that's the problem for him, because now all of a sudden, if you told me that he knew and didn't do anything about it, well, I got evidence that he isn't necessarily guided by morality anyway, so I'm prone to believe that now.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about 15 different women over a 14-year period. So this is systemic inside of this organization. And reading the story, a number of these women went to their superiors inside the organization and were met with complete indifference as to the problems that they were facing. One of the women said that she knows Bruce Allen knew what was going on because she was crying at her desk at least once a week, and he was right next to her. And so he knew that she was having a hard time. So this idea that he may have to just scratch a check, I mean, I think that that's inevitable to be sure. But the fact of the matter is, over 14 years this is going on, you cannot say, oh, I didn't know it was happening. It's just not a reasonable position to take. I think if it's more than a check, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if there was a ton of pressure put on him to say, you know what, I got to move on from this, because this is a terrible look on the heels of a terrible look on the heels of being a terrible owner.
Damn,
and this is 15 women who stepped out in front and said, this has happened to me. We don't know how many women over
behind
who have decided exactly who decided not to be public or not to get involved, who just wanted to just go away. We don't know how many women are in that space, Key.
2006 to 2019, this was taking place, and you would think with the Me Too movement that came in this time frame, that would have ceased, like if Bruce Allen or whoever would have been like, yo, we can't, let's clean this up, let's get this handled. And what this is going to do also is going to open up the doors for them other 31 teams around the NFL too. I mean, obviously, you had issues with the Carolina Panthers. They kind of forced him to sell the team. He had a number of racial things going on as well as sexual misconduct things going on. So this will be interesting, like you say, Travis, that the Washingtons, I'm about to call them the Redskins, the Washingtons, are going to have to evaluate where he wants to stand with this team moving forward, as well as the other 31 owners in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not over. That's for sure. This is the beginning of this.
Just getting started.
All right. Yeah, for sure. Let's go back to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was on TNT. They were talking about the reboot of the season. And he says that if Portland gets in, the Lakers are in trouble. Here's Charles.
If the Portland Trail Blazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
Ooh.
Oh, that is bold.
That is pretty bold. That is bold.
Wow.
That's just Chuck being Chuck. Nobody actually believes that, right? I understand they might win a game. I understand Lillard's a bad man. The Lakers are not going to lose to Portland in a seven-game series.
They won't.
If everybody's healthy, because just as much as we fear what Dame can do, and he's proven that he can dismantle franchises in the postseason by himself, well, you know LeBron James can do the same damn thing.
Right.
LeBron James has destroyed a number of franchises. course of his career with his postseason performances. So I'm not worried in the sense that, you know, the Lakers are going to lose, but I am worried in terms of just the things that could happen to the franchise when they get in a tough series. I am a little bit worried about that, only in the sense that it's going to cause AD and LeBron James to play more in the first round than I would want them to. I would want them to ramp up the minutes as they get deeper into the postseason. I would hate to see them have to have multiple 40-minute games just to get out of the first round.
Well, Dame Lillard cooked this for 51 nights. So, you know, he certainly could do something to us if we don't keep our head on the swivel. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he did cook us already.
Yeah, but we know AD destroyed them.
Yeah, look. Right?
He destroyed them in the postseason. So I'm not worried that we're going to lose to them, just the effort that it takes to beat them.
There's a fast guy like Lillard, right? There's a guy that you need to be scared of, the guy that can take you out. It's one thing to take out Paul George in Oklahoma City, which is not nothing. That's not LeBron James. Because while Lillard might be that guy, like you said, LC, so is LeBron, and LeBron's probably more of that guy. And that's not being disrespectful to Lillard. That's just saying that LeBron is LeBron, and LeBron's not going to get caught by somebody the way that Paul George did and letting Lillard take that shot at the end of the game. That's not going to happen to the Lakers. Lakers are just a much better team than we're talking about with the team like a year ago with Oklahoma City. It's apples to oranges.
And even if the Lakers don't get caught by Portland, the next man up, you use all that energy against Portland and have to go the length of the series to some degree. Now all of a sudden you get into the second round, you spent. Now the second round team could get you.
Yeah, but as I said, you know, I don't want to see them have to log too many 40-some-odd minutes. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. And, again, remember, Anthony Davis destroyed that team. Mm-hmm. Destroyed that team. Now you got Anthony Davis and LeBron. So I'm not necessarily, you know, panicking. It's just, you know, I don't want LeBron and AD to be logging 40 minutes in the first round just for us to get out. That's all.
Well, what's so weird about it, too, is the team that's in the eighth spot right now is the best bet for them, I would think. Of all the teams that you would think, okay, you're going to have LeBron and AD play a minimal amount of minutes. You're probably not going to go beyond a 4 or 5-game series. That's Memphis. I know Ja Morant is the real deal, and he's going to be a problem for somebody very, very soon. But the Lakers are not going to have any trouble with Memphis. There might be some trouble with Portland. Zion, and if he gets back and the Pelicans play at their absolute best, I don't think they beat the Lakers, but maybe you push them a little bit. The one that they're probably going to get is the best one for them, and that's Memphis.
Yeah, you know, Memphis is young and scrappy, you know, and, you know, they got the rookie of the year. They also have an attitude that they're not scared, but they just don't have enough firepower. You know, they don't have enough dudes who have a history of just flat out taking over to the point in which you don't know what to do with. Even Ja Morant, as brilliant of a season he's had, you know, he's not necessarily the guy who's just going to like single-handedly decide, I'm just going to cut their heart out. You know, that's not where he is right now in his career. So Memphis is definitely a much better, like, matchup. I'm a little concerned, too, about, you know, what it would take to get rid of the New Orleans Pelicans if they were to get in, only because I think B.I. and Josh Hart and Zion, they will rise to the occasion and make the guys work. And then we'll see what Zoe does. You know, I tend to think he's going to be scared, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what he does.
All right. I know that none of us are really outdoorsmen, but I don't think any of us could come up with what this dude in Germany did. A real-life Rambo was on the loose in Germany. We'll explain next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that this is what's going through German Rambo's head. Do you guys see this story? This is crazy. There's a guy in Germany who's been in the woods for 6 days. 1,500 German cops are looking for this guy, and they can't get him. That he's been living in the woods for nearly a week with 1,500 people after him, and no one can reel him in.
Yeah, man. Well, I read the story. I mean, I see it all the time, but this is crazy because I wouldn't even want to be, you know, because they gonna shoot to kill in this situation. What are they like? They not even. They gonna shoot to kill. That's what they gonna do. They ain't gonna try to. They not gonna try to get him out and handcuff him. Now they gonna look. They looking to gun him down so they can be the ones to say, "Yeah, I got him."
They've blocked roads. Man. They've closed schools. They've been looking for him for a week. They can't find him. They. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Key, but they may never. They may never find this guy. He may be Robin Hood living out there for the rest of his life.
Man, he's probably in Italy. He done slipped out.
It's a long walk.
Shaved his head. He shaved his head. You know how you got to sneak around. You
has he done anything to anybody? Like, has he gotten any other officers and took them down?
He has a criminal history. He spent more than 3 years in jail for severely injuring a friend with a crossbow after an argument. So they've taken away some of his weapons. When they went to get him, he was kind of peaceful. Like he got accused of squatting in this cabin in the woods. The police show up and say, "Hey, give me that crossbow, give me that spear." He handed him over, and then he took off into the woods, and they haven't found him since.
So yeah,
a wanted man.
Well, you know how Rambo is. Rambo, you know, he was going to take something out. I'm saying, has he had a chance to take anything out that's chasing
him? He overpowered the cops, not just about, like, overpowered to get away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he...
overpowered.
Away. Rambo did. You know, I was like, get off me!
Get off me!
Are they using drones? Don't they have, like, you know, at least on TV, they all have those.
But if you're in the forest, the drones ain't going to help you in the forest.
Yeah, there's hardly any signal out there, man. You need Wi-Fi and stuff.
Man, I've seen some movies, man, where the drones are sent out, and they got, like, the infrared, and they can read your body heat, and they can find
I think you're thinking of Predator.
Those shows aren't real.
Yeah, you're thinking of Predator.
I don't like drones.
Okay, so here's the question. Never mind 1,500 armed police looking for you. How long could you guys survive in the woods if I just said you right here you can't come home? How long do you?
I'm
make
just
it
gonna go to jail.
You have to come back.
I'm gonna go to jail. Hey, just come get me.
First of all, where in the woods are you putting me? Am I near some water?
Yeah, no, we're assuming water, that there's water. You can catch a fish.
Yeah,
you can trap an animal.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, I'm good.
You know, I'm good in terms of I'm just going to do my time. Whatever y'all going to give me, y'all going to give me. I'm not messing around.
Real question. Because
I don't know what's in the forest, man.
Real talk.
Animals.
Can any of you start a fire? Can any of you start a fire?
Yes.
Like from scratch?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's really easy. This is how you do it. You go to the grocery store, you get one of those long sticks, and you pull the trigger, and fire starts. It's really easy.
Travis, no.
How do you do it? Up
fire, like the Boy Scouts. You get the little twigs, and you gotta like, but you know the thing is, what they don't teach you, you really gotta like work your wrist,
press on it,
to get that stick moving. You gotta press hard on it too.
Yep.
It's not easy. But it can be done to create enough friction that you start a small fire. And then you got to be patient not to smother it too quickly. You got to let that thing build up nice and slow.
No, I'm good. I'm going to stay right. You're going to arrest me, and then I'll just deal with the system. I'm good. I ain't you. You ain't got to worry about me running into the forest.
Travis and LZ, we know Keyshawn's out, but can you two hunt? Would you be able to get food and, you know, survive for 6 days? What would you hunt?
No, I'm not doing the key way out,
yeah, that's
and I'm not doing
the
force way out. I am going to run right at one of the cops, and I'm going to have him take me out so it's over. I'm just done. I'm not going to live in the woods, and I'm not going to live in jail. That's it.
Yeah, I'd rather take my chance with jail because the prosecutors and the judge might make a mistake, or the jury might feel sorry for me and let me off. No, I'd rather take my chance because even if I go to jail, I can potentially escape. You know, and get out. I mean, so you running at the cop, they going to dome you. They going to take you out. You did. And if you go into the forest, you probably going to wind up dying. I mean, I'm good.
This is the reason why I ask about the water. Because one, obviously, I need to drink water. But also, two, the other animals in the forest need that water as well. And you just stand
that's where you hunt.
And that cuts, and that's where you hunt. Exactly, right? You know how to survive, dog.
Okay. You keep on thinking that going in the forest and hanging out and walking around thinking you Boy, you ain't got no experience. You from damn Detroit. You ain't got no damn experience and no damn force.
It's not a Disney movie. It's not Bambi and things that are going to come up and eat out of your hand. There are wild animals there that are looking at you to hunt
you. What you guys need to understand is that I have gone hunting for both deer as well as raccoon and rabbit. I actually do know how to hunt. I know how to skin. I know how to clean fish. So, yeah, you can drop me off in a little forest.
Oh, like so these going to be the last man standing.
So, but so LZ,
I'm just
going to say, this dude in the buttons. LZ, Travis and I both understand that you are worldly. There's no question about it. We get that. But they're not dropping, you're not running in the woods with guns and knives and stuff to go hunting. You're running in the woods like this dude. He ran in the wood. They took his crossbow from him. Okay, so he doesn't have weapons to protect himself. He's out there with bare hands.
Out of wood. Then you watch Rambo get out of the trees. You sharpen.
Boy, if y'all don't stop.
If you're running around with a crossbow, I'm assuming you know how to make a weapon.
Yeah, you be watching too many. You be watching too many movies.
LZ, he's not out there for 6 days because he don't know how to survive. He's not out there for 6 days because he can't make fire.
For all y'all know, that dude dead somewhere.
No, he's not. They would have found him if he's dead.
Not necessarily. Not if a bear got him.
Postmates. You think
a German bear might have got him
somewhere in the cabin? No, man, he's figuring out how to survive out there.
Okay, well, Dan, this is what we're going to do. We're going to drop you off in the a forest. Where can we drop
Yosemite.
Him off at, Travis?
We'll leave him
we're
going to
drop
Yosemite.
You off in Yosemite and let you do your thing.
Take me back to Michigan where I know the lay of the land and I'll be all right.
Nah. Yeah, you said any forest.
His native surroundings.
I know where we can take him. To the bush.
Angeles Crest. Let's drop him off at Angeles Crest and just let him go.
He could find his way back. You can find your way back to L.A. from Angeles Crest. We didn't put him in a deeper forest. Take It or Shake It is coming up next. Okay, Key, let's start in the NFL with Take It or Shake It here. Let's take a listen to Adam Schefter talking about the possibility of the Washington NFL team changing hands on an ownership level.
Well, he's going to own the team. That's not going to change. Now, there are limited shareholders, who have begun exploring the sale of their shares of the team. They've hired an investment firm to vet potential buyers and to sort out what it would take to sell the team, see if they could find buyers. It's a tough environment to try to sell in right now during a pandemic, but they've begun that process. And obviously, there is bad blood here between those limited shareholders and Daniel Snyder. Okay. I think we all could see what's going on here, how this is all shaking out, how all these things surface at a time where these limited shareholders are basically challenging Daniel Snyder. Again, with that confrontation between them, I don't think it's accidental that we're seeing a lot of these things emerge about the organization.
All right, Keith, Dan Snyder should be forced to sell his football team. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, wow.
Take it.
Take it. She back
Janice.
Hey, Janice. Hey. All right. Hey. 6 feet. I would think that, he needs to be, talked to about selling a team. As you can see, some of his minority partners have got an investment firm together to figure out banks to figure out who they could shop their interest to. If you look at the Carolina Panthers and you look what went on with Jerry Richardson and down in Carolina, that eventually they kind of forced him to sell a team because he had some of the same issues going on within the organization from a race standpoint, something that Daniel Snyder has dealt with, as well as sexual misconduct, something that Daniel Snyder now is dealing with.
Well, he can't hide behind they're not accusing me. It happened for nearly 20 years, and he was the boss for all that time. And it was so many women, at least the women that have come forward to this point. You can't just say, I got the guys that were doing it. I cleaned it up. there's a culture of this going on in the building, and he's responsible for it. I don't know how you can keep that guy in light of everything we've been talking about, not just in the last couple of months, but like you mentioned earlier, Key, with the Me Too movement going back a couple of years. That's a tough way to keep this guy around with those two things together.
Man, they kept Jim Irsay. And I, so I just see examples of which they're willing to work with the billionaires. I'll put it that way.
What did Jim Irsay do? Jim Irsay was on pills.
What did Jim Irsay do?
Jerry Richardson was the one with the race problem. He's gone.
But I'm saying Jim Irsay was doing drugs to himself, right? I don't think he had any sort of misconduct or any sort of racial thing going on. Did he, or did I miss it?
He didn't necessarily have any racial thing, but it wasn't a good look for him to be busted with all the drugs in his car, with all the money and all of that.
But that's two different. That's two different things, though. You talk about things that happened with the Denver Broncos and some of their front office people, drunk and driving, same sort of thing. So it's kind of that. Those are two different things. This is has a direct impact on society, as well as women, as well as race. I mean, I keep wanting to say Redskins, the Washington whatevers. This is a totally different situation than Jim Irsay. I just want to say Redskins because it's been forever. It's been a long time.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. Let's take a listen to Ryan Clark, who says Dak Prescott might not be in Dallas for very long.
Listen, this game with chicken is going to get not only one of these cars derailed or running off the cliff, but I think both of them, because Dak Prescott is going to take his car and go somewhere else in a couple of years, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to be looking for a new franchise quarterback. I don't know why even have a conversation yesterday. This has been going on for over a year. I felt like we were having these same conversations about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys last year, and so now you look at this, he's going to play on his franchise deal, and I think this goes along the lines of a Kirk Cousins. He's going to get to the free market and find a better place for him, a better deal monetarily, and Dak Prescott won't be the franchise quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for very long, if you ask me.
Dak Prescott will be on a new team in 2 years. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. I think he'll be a long-term Cowboy. He'll be a long-term Cowboy because I think what's going to happen is he's going to have a terrific year. The team will win, and with Mike McCarthy as the head coach, and he'll show people what type of quarterback he is under Mike McCarthy in this new system, not having to deal with Jason Garrett. I think on the flip side of things, next year salary cap will be flat. There'll be a $38, $39 million cap number charged him on franchise tag. They'll get a long-term deal done where he'll be there for a while. This year is different. Next year, the contract will get done, and he'll be there forever.
I know that there's a different coach, but what if it's a similar result? What if they get to the playoffs, lose in the playoffs, and it looks a lot like it's looked the last couple of years? Do they move on at that point?
No, I don't think they. I don't think they move on. I think they franchise him again.
It just feels so disrespectful.
Man, if you don't stop, man, they just gave that man $32 million. Man, if you don't stop,
if you feel like he's that dude, it's disrespectful. If you don't feel like he's that dude, then it's just business. And you're right, Key. And they gave him $30 million, and I'm going to stop. But if they're trying to tell me, this is just me, that he's their future, they're not treating him like he is.
Well, I'll go back to what we talked about earlier when you were saying, you know, if one guy gets something, I want it too. We were talking about with that in regards to the NBA bubble. But, hey, Jared Goff got his $100 million. Patrick Mahomes got his $400 million. Carson Wentz got his money. All these other guys have got the money. I know $30 million is a lot, but I'm not getting what these other guys are getting. I want it too.
I could have got what these other guys got, but I didn't want it. I wanted something different. They offered – you guys are going to make me – do something to y'all tomorrow at dinner. They offered this man a contract.
Threatening my life.
They offered this man a nice contract, right? We don't know what the structure is, but they gave him a big number. So they did offer him something. It's not like they didn't offer him anything and basically said, we're not even negotiating.
Listen, baby, I'm not going to marry you, baby, not right now. But how about this? How about we move into a two-bedroom apartment instead of just a one-bedroom apartment? Can we do that? And then,
you know, we'll see, month to month, one-year lease.
And we're going to see on the other side, you know, if we want to go to the next step.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Let's go to the NBA. The Lakers being particularly close as teammates will benefit them inside the bubble. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Bro. Take it.
So when you genuinely enjoy being around people, you don't have to venture out into other spaces. You know, you can enjoy being around your teammates, having fun, you know, just keeping that chemistry together opposed to being standoffish and I don't deal with him and I'm going to go over here and talk to this dude. And it serves no purpose and it does no good. The fact is that the Lakers seem like that they all genuinely like each other and they get along, which is important in a team sport.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, I understand if I got better players than you, then I'm probably going to beat you, even if all of my guys hate each other and you guys all love each other. But the difference is, if the chemistry is good, if there's actual affection for one another and guys enjoy spending time with other, in a weird scenario like this, it could make a difference. If we don't mind being stuck here the way someone else is minding being stuck here because I don't want to look at that guy's face for one more second, it could be the difference between winning a game or not.
Man, I really want to see what this bubble is because we make it sound so miserable. We really do. We make it sound like it's, you know, miserable when I know it's room and it's space to go do things on your own.
But Key, it's not that you're locked in your room necessarily. It's that you can't leave. It's that. It's the idea that no matter what, I'm at a resort. I can't go anywhere.
I'm at a resort. I play ball
for 3 months.
I'm at a
resort.
I go by the pool. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, but you can't leave. The can't leave part.
It's like being in that Leo DiCaprio movie. What was it, The Island? It starts off all nice and fine and dandy, and then after a while, like, I'd really like to get off of this island.
I'd really
like to go.
Yes.
Damn, they got, you say 3 months. I wonder what type of food they're going to go through in three months.
It could be longer than 3 months. I mean, we're talking into October by the time we crown an NBA champion. So you got, they've already been there in July, August, September, and then in October, we're talking about into a fourth month of this stuff. It could be a really super long time.
So if you're a Final Four, you at the end of September?
Yeah. No, if you're in the Final, yes, the Final Four, end of September, yes. It's a long time.
But see, when the Final Four come, they're going to start to let people inside the bubble from the outside. That's family, right?
That'll help, yes. People coming in will help, but you still don't get to leave. You're still on the DiCaprio Island at that point. The Dodgers released a video statement yesterday talking about what they're going to do for social justice moving forward. You will hear that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.